and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, the show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Alrighty, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast. It's your host, Sean. We're getting ready to belly up to the bar here. We're actually taking the bar on the road a little bit. We're going to and I'll double check my GPS here, but we're in a town in North Jersey today. Little town in North Jersey. I don't know how many people have ever been there before, but we've headed to Tromaville. We've taken the show on the road. And we've got, I don't know if we would say mayor, governor, emperor, how we want to refer to Mr. Lloyd Kaufman, but we have Mr. Lloyd Kaufman bellowing up to the bar with us here in Tromaville. Lloyd, how are you today?
It's been great. Above the bar, highlight of my 50 years of making failed cinema. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much, Sean.
We are happy to be the highlight of your 50 years of failed cinema. That's so great. As always, folks, before we get started on any show, we're going to do our housekeeping. Over my shoulder here, as always, is the big board for stickering a cause. If you've got some kind of cause, something you believe in, something you're supporting, I don't care if it's a local.
I'm on the podcast.
If it,
the wife, sorry.
Is that
what?
Is that Mrs. Kaufman?
Yeah, oh, thank you. She's reminding me. Come down and say hello, Patty Pie.
Come down, Mrs. Kaufman. My wife does the same. My wife does the same thing. She'll go, no, I'm not getting on there. And I'm like, just come on for a moment. Mm-hmm. So
my alarm also went off, so I wasn't going to screw it up this time, let me tell you.
So as always, folks, sticker and a cause, make sure you send us your stickers. Let us know what's going on. Also, the most important thing that we also do is take a moment and share away on all your favorite Facebook yard sale sites and all the other things that are out there. Remember, our goal is always to be trying to get banned from every single one of them. I figure if all of us send stuff to all these different sites, eventually they will give up and they will stop telling me that it doesn't have anything to do with selling rusted bicycles for way more than they're worth. So all that being said and done, let's get into some Tromaville. Lloyd, thank you again for being with us.
Well, I'm a old rusted bicycle myself. Way overpriced.
Well, you are the well overpriced bicycle.
Well, thank you very much, Sean. And it's a pleasure to get to converse with you.
Well, we are so excited to have you here. And before the show, Lloyd and I were discussing some things, and I introduced him to one of my sons. And I had to let him know, Lloyd's been corrupting my childhood long before he ever knew who I was, and probably many of us. We watched trauma films. I mentioned this earlier, Jeffrey Sass, who was on the show, wrote the book, Everything I Learned About Business, I Learned from the Toxic Avenger. And he said the same thing, like the experiences of working with you, being involved with you, really, I mean, let's be honest, Lloyd, you've launched more than 1,000 movies that you guys have done. You've launched a lot more than that.
Well, thank you. You're not alone. At least two other people who feel that way. But thank you very much, Sean.
I mean, it's just, so you guys started in 1974.
Yes, sir. I married the missus in 1974. And I still have the same missus.
Wow.
And with the same business partner, Mr. Michael Herz.
I was about to say
his wife.
I was about to say you and Michael Herz. Now, Michael is kind of, I guess he always feels like he's a little more behind the scenes than you are.
Yeah, he wants to be behind the scenes. He's the Wizard of Oz. I'm just a puppet of Michael Herz, but I'm a marionette, string puppet, believe me. And he's much better looking and smarter. And he also, we co-directed The Toxic Avenger, but he doesn't, he's nice enough to let me have the credit. Right now, the last few years, he's up, he's the boss of the company, but he hasn't, he's kind of given up directing. He's grown up. He's now an adult.
So you're more like the Stan Lee of the whole thing?
Underground, I'd say underground Stan Lee. And I was, ouch, I was buddies with Stan Lee my whole, since college, since I graduated from Yale. And we wrote a script together called Night of the Witch. And I learned a lot from him about, you know, staying with the fans and staying in the trenches and the conventions and all those things. And Stan got Toxic Avenger into Marvel as a comic book.
Well, I mean, Toxic Avenger is such a iconic character. Any of us that were, so I was born in 76. I had no business watching it. I promise you, I had no business watching it when I first did on Up All Night with Rhonda.
Oh yeah, that was all chopped up.
Yeah, I had no business the first time I saw it, but it's, you know.
And Rhonda, it was okay. How old were you?
I bet you I was probably 8 or 10 years old when I first watched it.
Oh, absolutely no problem. But the our version, yes, you would have needed many years of psychiatry. But Rhonda's, they chopped these up and made it fun for people, and you know, it was lighthearted.
So now, what was, so for that, actually, let me roll back here for a second. So even starting a film studio in 74, you know, and going out, was your intention always like, look, you know, we're going to be doing this, like you said, you know, we're talking 47 years you guys have been at this. You know, was that always the intention, like, to keep going, to just make movies for the rest of your life? Or was it one of these, like, you said it, you're a Yale graduate. You're a Yale man.
Yeah, as is Michael Herz. He's a smarter Yale man. We're both idiots. And, you know, when you're young, you feel like nothing's impossible. So, you know, we decided to stay in New York, which was really stupid, and make independent movies. And, you know, we created kind of a unit. Well, you can see the influence, Stanley. You can see that Toxie is clearly informed by Spider-Man and Stan's world, a kind of universe, which hadn't been as much of a universe back then. But Tromaville is clearly imitation of the Marvel universe in the early days.
Now, is everything in the Troma world, are they all interconnected? So they're all, so Sergeant Kabuki is in Toxie's world?
Yes, they're not that many characters, but they do intercept. And even the new movie, hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm, deals with Tromaville, even though you really don't see Toxie. Or, well, actually, you do see Toxie, actually. Toxie and Kabuki Man, I think, do make cameo appearances. But it's still Tromaville, basically.
Now that being said, now you've got, you just said it's hashtag Shakespeare Shit.
No, hashtag Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
Shakespeare's Shitstorm.
It's based on my favorite Shakespeare play, The Tempest, which I would have done years ago, but I wanted to wait till I was old, losing power the way Prospero is. I wanted to be able to really feel Prospero. So we did Romeo and Juliet, which, of course, James Gunn wrote. And I don't know what happened to him after that. But,
I
wish him well.
He's kind of falling off the radar, that guy, James Gunn guy. The guy before him was nice. True. I like the guy you had working for you before him. That was that Jeffrey Sass guy.
Oh, Jeffrey Sass, you said it. He and I wrote Kabuki Man together. And whenever we, you know, his name was Jeff. So he would come over to the house and say, Jeff Sass is coming. And, you know, Jeff's ass is coming. And the little kids would, and that was a big joke in our family for years.
Now,
yeah, he's a talented dude, that Jeff Sass, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
Very talented. Good guy, really good guy.
I loved having
him. As is James Gunn. Both just wonderful human beings.
But now, and if this is too much on the spot, you tell me, but when you met James Gunn and he started working for you, what did you know, like, this guy's a legit talent, he's going to be able to run with this kind of stuff? Or was it more like, yeah, kid? Because the story I hear when it comes to anyone that's worked for you, they all have to sit out front first at the front desk, answer phones, and if they can survive answering the phones at first, they're allowed to be moved on around. Did he get that same treatment?
Well, I don't. That isn't the correct.
That's not how that works.
That's not how it worked at Troma. No, in any event, he had a resume that indicated that he graduated with an MA and had written a novel, which pretty impressive, and B, that he was a performance artist and vomited on stage. And that's our Hitler. So that immediately hired him. I believe he was my assistant at first. And then when he proved to be much smarter and more talented than I, he wrote sketches for Troma and all sorts of other things. And then he saved the day with Romeo and Juliet. We were writing and rehiring people and writing and hiring. And 5 years, we couldn't figure out how to do Romeo and Juliet. And then James Gunn came along. And I don't know that he was intending to be a filmmaker. I think he was looking more at writing novels. But at any rate, I gave him I think it was $125, although he says it's only $100, to write the script. And indeed he did. And it was brilliant. It was really good.
I think you overpaid. Terrific. You overpaid.
And, this was back in 1993. $100 was worth probably,
$125.
Yeah. But anyway, he wrote a wonderful. He figured out the balcony speech brilliantly. He really solved it, and he wrote it in pretty much in iambic pentameter too. The only thing is, had seven urination scenes, had to
put a few of those. Seven's just too many.
No, I've said that I've said there weren't enough, but luckily my wife intervened. No, there were too many.
Well, but you bring up Romeo and Juliet.
He's a great guy. He and Jeff Sass are giants.
Well, you bring up Romeo and Juliet. That's now available with Troma. You just launched Troma Now. That's on Roku, the Apple App Store, Amazon Fire, and Google Play.
Thank you. Yeah.
You just launched that, and I saw that the other day. It's like $4.99, but that's everything Troma. That's all the different short movies, sketches, all the stuff is on there, right?
Everything. 50 years of failed. 50 years of classic cinema. I'd say there are about 1,000 movies and things. It's like Netflix, except it's much better. And first month is totally free, Sean.
So 30 days free, they can jump on, they can watch all the Troma stuff. But there's a ton, you're such an innovator. Even, you think about it, in 74, doing independent films, you found ways to do it. And on a shoestring budget, everybody that worked there was involved. You might, you know.
Well, after the shoestring budget, we developed the Velcro budget.
Oh, the Velcro budget.
We advanced. We're always technologically ahead of the game.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Movies of the future. That's what we called ourselves.
So that's one of the great questions that I have for you is, if you put your time capsule hat on for a moment and you were today, what do you think about the ease of, and I think it's easy because I have no technological background. I have no, nothing whatsoever. And if you could see my whole studio, I've got a full blown setup. I've got everything I need, but most of my stuff is plug and play. What do you think about that for people today that are trying to make movies or are looking to make movies?
By the way, plug and play is a good title for a certain kind of movie. You know what I mean?
It could be.
Scarlett Johansson would be perfect. Anyway, we're just talking about me. What were we talking about?
I was saying, so how do you feel about like how the ease of making movies today? Like, do you think that with the way it is now, more people should be making their own movies or taking advantage of it? Or have you tapped into, that's actually even a better question. Have you tapped into other independent filmmakers since there is a more of an ease? Do people reach out to you more, or are you tapping into more of the independent filmmaker?
Well, I think it goes both ways. I mean, hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm the crew were fans, the actors were fans, everybody involved in the film, the producers, was really a labor of love. So, it was a great experience. That was well worth making a movie. Hopefully someday it'll get into some movie theaters, but the pandemic didn't help.
So many of your movies, you were hitting the direct to DVD before or tape or whatever it was at the time. Like, you did that long before everyone.
We sure did. Not willingly, but we sure did.
But it was great. I mean, I'm trying to think in my head all the different stuff that from talking with Jeffrey and things that he told me about how you used to just buy up distribution rights.
We still do.
Still.
Yeah. We have to program Troma now. And we do acquire independent movies that the other idiots don't, the competition are too stupid to see how brilliant they are. You know, the Trey Parker and Matt Stones of the future give us stuff. And a lot of that's on Troma now. And it's great, better than the stuff I directed. So tune in to Troma now. It's the future, but now.
Now, that's a great. Now, say somebody makes a movie. Now, it won't be me. I'm not the one making the movie.
It should be. It should be you. By the way, I wrote a book called Make Your Own Damn Movie. It's a good book. Get it. It's funny as hell. And I have some pretty decent ideas. Make Your Own Damn Movie. Available safely and securely on traumadirect.com.
Wait a sec, because I've got that one right there, traumadirect.com.
That's the store, kind of the museum store. You go there and buy worthless trauma T-shirts and posters.
Can I get that Toxie?
Great Blu-rays. I don't know if there are any Toxie masks. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff though. A lot of great stuff. Selling out right now, folks. You viewers better go to Troma Direct right now, because I'm hearing everything is being sold. Nothing left. So get the last.
Get whatever left. Hurry up.
That's right. Hurry down to the TromaDirect.com store.
Pretty soon it's just going to be Lloyd's socks and t-shirts that are going to be left on there. It's going to be the only thing you're going to be able to buy on Troma Direct.
You could put that stuff on eBay. I guarantee you'll get a few bucks.
Somebody will buy it. Well, that's,
and if I didn't wash them, you'd get probably twice as much. You know what I mean?
Especially overseas, they have a whole thing for that. I don't understand it. That's like a whole thing over there.
That's interesting, huh?
Oh yeah. Have you never? Over in Japan, they have vending machines for underwear.
Oh, used?
No, that's the whole thing. Like, not used because they can't be used, but you can still buy individual pairs.
Oh.
So I guess you buy them, hand them to somebody, and then they hand them back to you. I don't know. It's a whole thing.
That's interesting. Well,
there's a whole thing there. I don't understand it.
Sounds cool. Sounds so very. It's part of anime. We don't. It's for the younger people.
Absolutely. Anime. So, Lloyd, I need to let you know this right now. That number one fan, my wife, said she would buy your socks.
Well, tell her I'll. They're like MasterCard. They're priceless. I can't let them go.
Don't leave home without them. That's so great. But yeah, my wife said she would buy your socks. But
thank you. That's very sweet of her. Thank her so much.
Yep. She's number one fan. If it wasn't, well, it's funny. And maybe you could tell me, when you started this in 74, you married your wife that year, right?
You're correct.
Did she think you were, did she support it fully? Or was she like, look, you're out of your mind. Like, you can do this for like a few months, but we need.
She bought the act, and she's very, very attractive, and she still bought the act. You know, in fact, I was in the process of my first failed movie, Sugar Cookies, with Mary Warrenoff, which is the only X-rated movie that ever lost money. Oliver Stone was one of the producers. On that movie, and he's in that film, I think. No, he's not in that film. He's in my first film. But in any event, that's what kind of Sugar Cookies is all about.
So then you're lucky like I am. So my number one fan, I wouldn't be podcasting if it wasn't for my wife. She's the one that was like, you should be doing this. You should be talking to people. You enjoy this. And she bought me my first setup. Yeah.
No. Oh, that's great.
So
you ask her to buy? Did you ask her to please pay our rent, your wife?
I can mention it. I mean, I'll let her know. I mean, but you're in the
instead
city.
Of buying my socks. Yeah, exactly.
What you could do is you could sell her your socks for the price of 1 month's rent, and I mean,
no way, no so, way. Anyway, we should talk about intelligence. I'm sorry.
I know, like this is what my show makes more left turns. It's constantly left turns, Lloyd. Constantly, this is what we do. It's like a NASCAR race. It's nothing but left turns around here. It doesn't
see no right turns, no Republican, no.
Well, no.
So you're a commie, basically a socialist. I can tell.
After the 20 years in the Marine Corps,
very left wing,
very left. I tell people all the time, I am as dead smack dab in the middle as you probably could ever find.
Good for you. Well, that's great.
You should join us here next Friday. We'll have our lovely ladies, the first people in our studio, our drag queens.
Wow.
Yep. It's a unique place. We're a equal opportunity bar. Everyone gets to belly up to this bar.
What? Where are the drag queens? Marines?
No, but some of them, they would probably like to be, but that's a whole nother story. But no, they're just local friends of mine.
Local. Nice.
One of them is my son's pop-up.
Oh, sweet.
It's different. Nice. It's different here. It's right.
Sounds like pop-up to me.
It could be. So you've been. All these different movies, and you just mentioned Oliver Stone. We know James Gunn.
Yeah.
Maybe, and I didn't look, and maybe this is on me. How many careers in the movie industry, and I don't mean well, anybody, would you think you launched? Like, how many people do you think that, like, from their time at Troma and being in your films, do you think you launched their careers?
I couldn't count. There's so many. I mean, just on this movie now that we finished, there's a new company that was formed out of everybody who met on the film called Shithouse Productions, and they're making their own movies with the Troma people they met with. It's like a school of art, you know, the Hudson School of Painting,
right?
The Troma School of Filmmaking. There's thousands of people doing it who have either worked for us or been influenced by my books or whatever. But I can't keep track. And a lot of famous people, of course, Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park, Vincent D'Onofrio, Samuel L. Jackson's first movie is a movie we financed. We didn't direct it, although I did shoot part of it. And Ernest Dickerson was the director of photography, but he had to leave and I shot the ending. But that was a great film, Jackson's first movie. Monster in the Closet, Paul Walker from Fast and Furious,
right,
his first movie. So there's a lot of people come out of of course, we stupidly turned down Madonna.
Did you? Wait, hold on. I've never
heard that. For the first turn on, yeah. We made a movie called The First Turn On, and Madonna was not Madonna yet, and she applied. Actually, no, the AD went out to discotheques. It was called The First Turn On, and it was about summer camp, and we were looking for interesting people. And the AD went around to discotheques looking for interesting people to put in. I can't remember what the concept was. But anyway, she was one of them. And she auditioned, and I was away, and my partner didn't particularly care for her. And then she came back with her own little summer camp costume that she had put together. And my father, my partner just... he was in his head. He was looking for a Jewish princess, and he said Madonna to look like a Detroit grandmother. And I would have been there for her. Believe you me, if I had been there, and she had been that aggressive about being in a movie, I would have written something or whatever.
Figured something out.
You know, usually the people who are very aggressive, you could do something. You know, and many times it. They proved to be very energetic and talented. Anyway, we did her a big favor by turning her down. the stars could have aligned, the water could have flowed or whatever, and the atoms might have made her the big star that she has become if she had taken that detour into Vincent D'Onofrio's first movie, The First Turn On, which is a hilarious, hilarious movie.
That's another one. Got to find it on Troma now, then. Got to get on that.
That's
Troma
right.
Now.
That's the funniest one. The funniest one. And I would say the most personal to Michael Herz.
Well, I would tell you the funniest title of all, because I was going through some titles earlier, just trying to get an idea of, because I got to tell people all the time, you've seen a Troma film. You may not have realized you've seen a Troma film, or someone's told you about a Troma film. You just didn't realize that that's what you were watching. It's sort of like when people are like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, do you really know every Canon movie you watched or every TriStar or whatever? You watched one. You just didn't realize you watched one. And the funniest title to me was Killer Condom.
Yes. A great film, too. We had nothing to do with making it, but it had special effects by... the guy who did Alien, Geiger, H.R. Geiger, yeah. I mean, it's a terrific film, and it's way ahead of its time. The protagonist, first of all, it's hilarious because Killer Condo makes New York into a German-speaking town. The movie is in German, and it's all in New York. And the lead character plays a detective who just happens to be gay. And it's not like a big deal. And this movie is back 30 years ago, I think. And but it was way ahead of its time because you got a gay guy. But it's not like, you know, look at me, you know, I deserve a medal. It's just, you happen to be gay. It's part of the thing. It's perfect. And it's a wonderful film. It's really great. Unfortunately, we lost the rights. We only had it for 20 years. The guy who produced it was one of the producers of An English Patient. He was not particularly, I never got the sense he was very proud of Killer Condom. I, you know, may have gotten away from him a little bit, but it's a great, it's hilarious, hilarious. Awesome. And it has a lot, it has a couple of interesting political messages, not to mention H.R. Geiger.
I didn't know that H.R. Geiger did that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I went to see his museum right before he died. He has a whole museum in Switzerland. And a great place, great place.
So you've got a couple of questions a comment and a question that has popped up from one of our big fans, Anthony Hoyes, who is he sings in a death metal band. And he wanted you to first to know that his favorite movie of all is Class of Nukem High 2.
Oh, great.
He's a Class of Nukem High
2. I didn't direct that, though. I can't take credit for directing it. Eric Luzziel directed that. And I've had a hand in writing it. But it's a great film. Terrific. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was going to, you just reminded me, another great title for a movie. Because your titles are...
I might have interrupted you. You were saying Subhumanoid Meltdown. I think I cut you off with that part of the title. Sorry.
Is Class of Nukem High 2 Subhumanoid Meltdown is the whole title?
Yes. Yes.
But that's another thing with a lot of your movies. Like, do you come up with the titles? Who comes up with your titles?
It's a committee. My wife has come up with a number of them. In fact, for Class of Nukem High 3, she came up with The Good, the Bad, the Subhumanoid as a title. And Toxic Avenger Part 3, she also came up with that title. The Last Temptation of Toxie, Toxic Avenger Part 3, that was my wife. She came up with a bunch of from it over the years. Yeah, she's very good.
Now, the other thing with Anthony is he would like to know what your feelings are on the shape of the Earth. What shape do you think the Earth is?
It's never been in worse shape, unfortunately. It really is a pity. Can I just hold that thought, though, because it's a good thought. I've got a little bit
of clear your throat.
To get some water. Yeah, thank you. Just a touch of water.
So,
can I get you? May I get you anything?
I'm okay.
You want a beer or something?
If you got one, I mean, I guess I'll take one. I mean,
I'll try to find one.
So while Lloyd's getting a glass of water here, folks, Anthony, I promise you, I will we'll get Lloyd's answer to your question. See what he has to say. While Lloyd's off doing that, real quick, folks, I got to tell you, I am a fan here. Make sure you check out trauma.com. That's the main website for those folks. You have watch.trauma.com where you can see all the films. We probably should ask Lloyd about at one point in time, if for those who didn't know it, Troma had actually uploaded all their stuff to YouTube. All of the Troma films were on YouTube, and YouTube ended up taking them all down because it violated community standards, which is amazing to me how a Troma film violates community standards. But I can definitely go on there right now and watch two teenagers beat the snot out of each other. But Troma films, they pulled. So we were just talking about
there was a happy ending because 48 hours later they put we had 700,000 subscribers, and then they put the channel back 48 hours later because the fans got pissed off. There was no reason to close it down. It's ridiculous. It's been there with the same movies for 20 years.
That's it.
For free. And they were making advertising money, which they kept lowering our share of it. And after they did that, the channel is still there, but we moved everything, all the movies to Troma Now. So all the uncut director's cuts are on Troma Now. All the beautiful movies like Terra Firma and Troma's War, Cannibal the Musical, all the great ones.
And that's the Troma Now that I can find on Roku, the Apple App Store, Amazon Fire, and Google Play, right?
Well, you download the app, and then you go to Troma Now and sign up. You download the Troma Now app. Then you just go in. And
it's a third of the price.
We have a person inside your... When you go into the app, there's a person there who lives inside the screen. And she comes out and takes your money and physically brings you inside of Troma Film.
Well,
get the app. The app is terrific. I just tried the app myself. It's a new app. New, what do you call it? 4000. Finest 4K. Technology.
The finest.
That's it. Fine. I know. I make movies.
Now, where is Tromaville located? If I thought it was North Jersey.
It is.
Right.
We've shot in different parts of Jersey, but the famous scene where Toxie is jumps through a window and lands in the toxic waste and then catches fire, that was in Booton, New Jersey, which is spelled B-O-O-N, and then I think T-O-W-N maybe, or T-O-N. It's spelled Boonton, but it's pronounced Booton. At any rate, that was the kind of iconic main street of Tromaville. But we shot in Jersey City. We shot all over New Jersey.
And I thought you had an influence on my youth, but you really must have had a bigger influence on Anthony's youth. He just sent us a message. Says, my father used to love the movie Mother's Day. He used to get stoned and shout, park bench, and laugh at the whole premise.
Yep, that's Matt. Your father has great taste. That's Eli Roth's. Mother's Day is Eli Roth's favorite horror film. And I can take no credit for it. It's my brother's movie, Charles Kaufman, who wrote it, directed it. And my sister, Susan L. Kaufman, was the art director. And all the little funny touches in the movie. She put in. And Eli Roth did a presentation of Mother's Day at the New Beverly, which is Quentin's. You see how I use his first name. Everybody knows it. Quentin's right. Theater. And people do know them, right? You know how people do that? To show that they know who it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what. So, from now on, I will be just referring. So Lloyd and I were talking. We were just talking.
Exactly.
I'm so doing that. So Lloyd and I were. And when they're like, Lloyd, who am I? Lloyd Kaufman. Give me a break.
Ooh, he owes me $15.
I know that guy owes me money. So now, you and I were talking about this, and nobody pays attention to me. So I assume that they're not going to steal my tickets away, but we're not going to see Troma at NYCC, or we don't know if we're going to see you at NYCC this year?
Very strange. Very strange. It seems that we paid for the booth before the pandemic at New York Comic Con. And we can't, nobody, sorry, I'm so upset. Nobody talks to us. We paid the money nobody will... We've had a booth there for many years, and we've never done anything wrong.
No.
After all, we're the Troma team, straight edge. So what's going on? Anybody out there have any information? Are there any other vendors who have been ghosted by New York Comic Con? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, they're holding our money. You give it back. That's okay. We don't have to have a booth.
Well, the whole
just don't like our money. We have no money. We don't have any. We could use that money.
That's an entire, like what that booth costs is a whole movie.
Some money, please. What?
So that's a whole movie that they talk. Like that, but that's budget the whole movie.
Certainly budgets my my liquor bills.
It takes care of the liquor bill. Either way, that's good
enough. Worst thing, I have this horrible back thing, and I'm on a some kind of muscle relaxant, which is useless. But I can't drink, so I haven't had a drink now for about 3 days.
What's the drink of choice?
And I'm bourbon and plenty of it.
Good. What's your bourbon? What's your bourbon of choice?
Anything. But we have discovered there's a bourbon called Texas bourbon. Oh.
This is the Maker's Mark 46, which is pretty good.
Oh, Maker's Mark. Maker's Mark is great. Is that a... Is that a special Maker's Mark? I don't know.
So this is a Maker's Mark that's because normally it's whiskey. This is a Maker's Mark bourbon. But I've become a big fan, and we've run out of it. I'm in Albany. So we've run out of it up here. I don't know why. I didn't drink all of it, but one called Heaven's Hill. And what's funny about it is I have a buddy that lives in Kentucky. And we were talking about it, and he's like, "Murph, that's cheap-ass bourbon." I was like, "Bro, up here in Albany, it's $45 a bottle, and you can't find this stuff." He's like, and I showed him the bottle, and he was like, "I've never even seen that one down here." I was like, "Well, it's pretty damn good bourbon." So I'm a bourbon guy also.
Is whiskey more expensive than bourbon or less expensive?
I don't know.
Maker's Mark is whiskey. I didn't even know what it was. I just very much enjoy it.
Yeah, so Maker's Mark is the main Maker's Mark is a whiskey. So all whiskey, what is it? All bourbons are whiskeys, not all whiskeys are bourbons.
Aha. Uh-huh. Because Lemmy, the late Lemmy, for whom we dedicated one of our movies, I think it was Return to Newcomb High. Yeah, Return to Newcomb High. We dedicated our movie to him. That one, I think. I think it was that one. Anyway, it's one of them. He always drank the Maker's. So I, as a tribute in his memory.
So that is awesome.
Getting a little teary-eyed. It's not, but you're right. It's not always that easy to get. No. And when you order it at a bar, when you order it at a table at the bar, you never know if you're actually getting the Maker's, because I can have a lot at home, no hangover. But when I go out and I have four or five that are supposed to be Maker's, I go home and I've got a headache the next day.
There's something to be said there.
Yeah, maybe they put the house whiskey instead.
Probably. It's the military special. It's the one we used to have on base called Military Special. Came in a plastic jug that was safe for dropping. And for those who don't know who Lemmy is, Lemmy is the passed away a few years ago. He was the lead singer for the band Motorhead. Probably their most famous song most people would know is Ace of Spades. Or if you're a big Osbournes fan, he was formerly dated Sharon Osbourne at one point in time. And the other thing you might know Lemmy for is he had a big mole on his cheek that was like very – the mole could have been as famous as Lemmy was. Like I might just let Anthony take over for me. He says, Lemmy was my pal and he judged a music contest I was part of early on and he was winning and my winning vote. And he always invited me to the Rainbow and I got to hang out with him a lot. So maybe you hung out with Anthony and you didn't even know it, Lloyd. Do you know Anthony?
I've heard about Anthony. Lemmy talked a lot about him.
A ton, like daily.
I can't exactly say what, but Lemmy was a sweet guy. He had that personality. He's in Romeo and Juliet. He has the most talking of any character, and you can't understand what he's saying. You know how he speaks.
We had that hard, like, Cockney accent, just, yeah.
Well, he also had plenty of self-medication. So, he's reciting Shakespeare from cue cards. You definitely couldn't understand it. And so later in the relationship, we started putting subtitles whenever he said and it was hilarious because, you know, we always had him as these kind of against type parts. He was a lovely guy, good guy.
Now, you kind of mentioned he's in that movie, and we kind of were going back and forth with some of the different people that have been in your movies. Is there any one particular actor that's been in, like, so we were talking about Stan Lee, how Stan Lee's always in the Marvel films. Is there anyone that was always, like, in a trauma film where you tried to squeeze into an actual trauma film, not just something you guys budgeted or anything like that?
Well, we had certain actors who were part of our family. The late Joe Fleischaker, who was our action hero, 400-pound action hero, he died, so we lost him. Mark Torgel, who played Little Melvin in The Toxic Avenger, came back for, he came back, but like, we can't pay these people. Start with trauma, then they become successful and famous, and it's, I can't ask them to, be in a movie for, waiter's salary. Can't do that. They want to make it big money.
I would think by now.
We do have, in fact, on the big Toxic Avenger remake, the only thing I've been a little aggressive about is to try to get the legendary guys who are making the Toxic Avenger movie now. And I was on the set. They were lovely people. They're great. And it's going to be terrific. And I have a cameo. I did push for that, of course. But the only thing I'm pushing is to put Mark Torgo and Debbie Rashan and Rick Collins and the kind of famous trauma actors, the underground stars who are a number of our movies, give them cameos, right? It'll this is a movie that's got stars in it. Peter Dinklage, Kevin Bacon, Elijah Wood, there are a couple of others. Whose name I can't, God damn it, I can't remember. Zola, the woman in Zola was terrific. It's beautiful. I think it'd be great because the fans are going to say, oh, look, they made it. Blah, blah, blah. You put in Debbie Rashan and some of them, I think you get the street cred. Plus, it'll make they'll be very happy. So that's the only thing I've been really, I think, maybe pushing too hard.
I don't know. You can't push that too hard. Matter of fact, for anyone who gets a moment and watches this, make sure, who's producing this one? Because this is like a legit 2022 big budget. And this is not the first time we've talked, not you and I personally talked about it, but that it's been talked about, a big budget version of Toxic Avenger. There was supposed to be one in the 90s. That was that TriStar, or who was that in the 90s that was going to do that?
New Line.
New Line.
Yes.
There was in the 90s, there was going to be one. And this one most recently is supposed to come out.
Oh, no, you're right. There was another one about 10 years ago. There was another group.
Right.
Headed by the guy. He got an Oscar, but it never happened. But the director, what was his name? He did one of the Batman movies where you see Robin's nipples.
He did the nipple movie. Was that the Asian director, wasn't it?
No. It was the guy. He was an art director, and he got an Oscar because I think he wrote A Beautiful Mind. Good guy too, very very nice guy, but they never could put it together. So that was the end of that. And then 10 years later, these other guys come along, and they're great. So the script is certainly much better than the original Toxic Avenger, I'll tell you that. They got a great cast. They got Kevin Bacon. They got, the director is terrific. He loves trauma. That's why I don't want to bother him too much. He's got all sorts of Easter eggs in there. And he's got references to, I don't want to be, I'm not supposed to say anything. But the guy has seen all our movies and gets the humor and the action and the horror of trauma. And I think this, and the pathos too, all our movies have a lot of emotion. And he's doing better than ours, that's for sure. It's really going to be great.
So you just reminded me of something. And if you like this, all I ask is you let me stand out front of the theater where you first release it at. Just let me stand out front of the theater. I think on opening day of the movie, for the opening, like the first big show, you should have them create trauma bingo cards.
Mm.
And for all the Easter eggs that are in the movie, and as people find the Easter egg, they can mark it off on a bingo card.
Oh, yeah.
You love it. I can tell you love the idea.
No, I just don't want to get fired. No, I'm a powerless creator of Toxic Avenger. I think they do it. I leave it to them, you know.
I just thought that would be so great. Like on opening day, you could have like
a great idea.
You'd have a bingo card.
They have a whole licensing department. I think they'll do fine. I don't want to do any work.
But it's not a trauma film. You've just licensed it out for them.
Exactly. And if it's a big hit, Uncle Lloydie gets a big check.
It just won't be muscle relaxers then.
I can get all the muscle relaxers I need.
That's so awesome. So I guess, see, that part just is fascinating to me also. So how were you approached about this? Was it just kind of like, did Michael handle this, or were you involved in it? Like, how did they come to you? You know, because like I said, this is the third time. This is the third time that somebody said that they're going to make this movie. And the first time it's got traction. It's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Every so often, people get interested in Toxie. And this time, oops, sorry.
Just like that, we went to my naked leg. we're going to be the second X-rated movie not to make money.
Yeah.
So,
in fact, keep going. What were we saying?
I was just wondering how it all came about to be. Because, like I said, you know, I just think about it. It's, you know, this is the third time it's come around. The movie, you made the original. Then this is the third time somebody wants to remake it.
Well, I guess apparently the director is a hot young director, and he had turned down many scripts, and then somebody said, "Hey, what about the Toxic Avenger?" And he liked that. I think it's something like that. And then from there, they put everything else together. I guess I don't know, quite frankly. I just know they did a great job. Plus, putting Peter Dinklage as Toxie doesn't get any better than that. That's
so brilliant. Awesome.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is awesome, and it's a great personal movie by Macon Blair. It's going to be his own movie. You know, it won't be. It's different from Toxie. In a great way. It's wonderful. It really is. I think it's going to be a big deal. And I think Macon Blair is on his way. He made he made his own damn movie called I Don't Want to Be in This World Anymore. I Don't Feel Safe in This World Anymore, which is on Netflix. Terrific. very original, very gutsy. Oh, Elijah Wood is in the Taxi movie, and the Elijah Wood is in that one. And Macon is wrote Green Room. Did you see Green Room? It's
terrific. I think we did. I think my wife and I watched Green Room. It sounds very familiar.
Well, anyway, he wrote it. He's in it. Murder Party. Terrific. Anyway, he's a talented dude. And that Taxi movie is going to mop up.
Literally, he's going to mop up. So then, now you,
yes, sir.
With Peter Dinklage is obviously a very 180 departure from the original Toxic Avenger. Who, you know, for those who didn't see that movie, he was a scrawny little guy. Spoiler alert: the movie is 39 years old. If I did the math right in my head, 1984. So I think that's right.
That sounds right. The Toxic, you're talking about the Toxic Avenger,
the original Toxic Avenger, 1984. Yeah. So spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it by now, I will tell you how he becomes the Toxic Avenger, which is he was a nerdy little guy, was a janitor, gets picked on by everyone. Very similar story we've all seen. The beautiful girl says, this is what I'm into, has him dress up in a pink tutu and all these other things. And then he ends up being thrown into a vat of it was a 55-gallon drum, wasn't it?
A truck carrying about a dozen barrels of green toxic waste just happens to park under the window of the local gym. And jumps through the, they bully him and Melvin jumps through the window and manages to land head first into a vat of green toxic waste. And,
you know, very New Jersey.
And he jumps in. It's a New Jersey thing. Well, when he caught on fire, he jumps out of the barrel and runs down the street and explodes into a fire. And then there's a wonderful transition scene when he changes. It's terrific.
So it's a must see. I highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a good film.
I loved it as a kid. It was, again, like I said, I watched the first version I ever watched of it was Up All Night with Rhonda, and just was so much fun. But with that being said, what do you say to fans who, and I'm bad about this because I'm a comic book guy. When I watch some of these movies that are such a far departure from the source material, I get annoyed by it. I'm like, it's okay to take liberties, but when you go so far off the rails, it's like, so what do you say to some that say, well, that's not what Toxic Avenger is supposed to look like, and that's not who he's supposed to be? What do you tell them?
I tell them, hey, if Lloyd Kaufman gets a big check, it's a genius. No, I'm kidding. You don't go to movie jail for making a good sequel or a good remake or a reimagining or a reboot. You don't go to movie jail. A Star is Born with Judy Garland and James Mason is the third, one of the greatest movies of all time. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And it also has a nice suicide. Spoiler alert. really dark, depressing. It's a great movie, and it's got some great music. George Cukor directed Star is Born. Third iteration, and there was even another Star is Born, wasn't there? That was terrific. I thought it was very good. That good music was great. They sang. So I don't think there's, you know, I think that if there's nothing wrong with having the worst thing is to just remake the first one. that's the thing, and that's what so many of these people seem to be doing. Or it's all so politically correct, or you can't have this person doing that. I have a feeling that Suicide Squad is going to be great because it's going to have all these many superheroes in it that kind of, I think, speak to the fact that you have to be politically very careful where you go these days, especially if you're spending $200 million. And it's Suicide Squad is going to be great.
I'm looking forward to the new one.
Yes, it's fabulous. And my Twitter feed, every other one is from England saying they're going to see it again, and everybody loves it. They laugh, they cry. It's absolute. I've never seen such praise. It's terrific.
For the new
congratulations, James Gunn.
Is the new the second Suicide Squad's already out?
It's in England, yeah.
I didn't even know it was the second one was out.
Yes, sir. And I think it opens here pretty damn soon. I don't know. I can't remember when, but I think it's opening here pretty soon.
Now,
go on my Twitter feed because you'll see all these people are extolling the movie. And I believe it's just England that has it.
Now, now this is completely sidebarred to trauma, but it kind of gives me a thought here. How do you feel about?
Oh, that's dangerous. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Look, thinking does a whole lot of shit. You end up in jail. You do it too much. but you just kind of brought up an idea to me. How do you feel about companies like HBO, which is owned by Warner Brothers, kind of snubbing the theaters and being like, and even Disney's doing it now, we'll release it on our app first for the first month. And once it's been there or whatever they're doing, however long they're doing it for, then you guys can have it afterwards. What do you think about that?
The theaters are, at least in our country, there are two chains. One is Regal and one is AMC.
Right.
And there may be one or two family-owned chains that are keep getting bigger and bigger because they eat up the little ones. Well, hopefully my doorbell's ringing. Can you get that?
Do we need to take the camera to the door and see who it is?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, we can find out who it is. I don't care.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, I'm concerned every time we see a little bit of leg there, your wife's going to get excited.
Oh, hold it. Hold it. Now they're ringing again. Wait, don't go away.
We won't go nowhere. We're going to find out who's at Lloyd's door right now.
Oh, great. Thank you.
We're going to find out who's at Lloyd's door. It could be James Gunn. How great would it be if James Gunn is at Lloyd's door right now and came to visit?
Thank you. Sorry. I'll go back in.
If James Gunn hold on. Is it James Gunn? Is it Oliver Stone? Is it James
Gunn or Oliver Stone? Bobby. Bobby came to the door. It was Bobby.
Who's Bobby De Niro?
Oh, you know Bobby.
Bobby D? Robert De Niro?
I think yes, Bobby D. Right.
Please tell me. If that's Robert De Niro that just came to your door, tell him to go ahead and sit down on the couch with you. This could go on forever.
He's very shy. Very, very shy.
Please tell me it's actually Toxie that was at your door.
Catherine Deneuve, can you sit down for a second? What was terrible?
I look terrible.
Oh, my wife says she looks terrible.
I highly
doubt
that.
She's a beautiful woman. Come and just say a quick hello. This man served our country.
20 years. Where's your bride at?
Good for you. Good for you. Come say a quick hello. Well, hide your face.
Hey, how are you
doing, sweetheart?
This is Sean Murphy.
Hi, Sean.
How are you? So
I of course can't hear because you have.
Oh, sorry, she can't hear anyway.
She can't hear. I was gonna ask her if at any point in time she ever was like, "All right," because you said she was very supportive of all your movies. But if there was ever a point where she was like, "You're not making that movie," if there was ever a movie that she was like, "No, we're not. You're not doing that one."
No, well, that has been said, but it didn't. Unfortunately, it didn't. It had no effect.
It wasn't effective at all.
I think that sometimes if I go too far, my wife feels I should pull in my wing, you know, pull in my horn, whatever you want to call it, and you know, do not have that scene with
the extra nudity.
No, it was the lawyer fucking the chicken. That scene, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful, but my wife, you know.
It was cinematic gold.
Well, it was my foul movement. Took you a while to get that one.
Thank you
for laughing. Yeah, it's annoying. I'm sorry. A lot of people hate puns.
Oh, I love it. I love every bit of it.
Good.
So we're going to get ready. We're going to put a bow on it here in a moment and close the bar down there, Lloyd. But
what do you do when you're not interviewing boring people like me? What do you do other than this?
Well, I used to be a railroader for eight years when I retired out of the Marine Corps. And just recently, I helped people find jobs.
Oh, wow. Well, keep me in mind.
I'll keep you in mind. There's some picker packer work out there. I mean, everybody needs it, you know.
I see myself in front of Walmart. You know, welcome to Walmart. If there's anything you can't find, you know.
But see, I think if you were in front of the Walmart doing that, I have this feeling like you're wearing a trench coat lined with trauma DVDs.
And yes.
And as somebody's like, could you let me show you what? Welcome to Walmart. Are you looking for a movie? like this. Some
These
of us
are the specials, right? The Walmart specials. Yeah, that's right. That's what you got to do.
And on the, you know, maybe in my next life, because this is what I'd rather be doing. But and that's what I envy about folks like yourself, Lloyd, and has always impressed me, is anybody who can find and grasp a hold. Like, I love my job, my regular job. Nothing more satisfying than finding somebody work who truly needs it and truly is looking for work and a career. Yeah. There's nothing like it. Because I did, of my 20 years in the Marine Corps, 12 of them were spent recruiting. As I always say, I used to say that was the devil's work. I had 2 hours to take 18 years of your parents telling you you're going to college and show you how the Marine Corps is a way better deal. I was pretty successful.
Good for you. That's great.
Well, the magic trick was,
well, you look very young. How many kids do you have? How old are you?
So between my wife and I, we have 8 kids.
Wow. 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 Good for you.
She had 4, I had 3, and then we went half on one. But our kids range from the oldest is 27, the youngest is 4.
Wow. Well, you look young and your kids treat you well, obviously.
Yeah, I do. I've lucked out.
And your wife, too, obviously. Family clearly takes good care of you. That's great.
I've lucked out with a good bride and good kids. Can't complain about any of them. And even if I complained about them, they wouldn't listen to me tell them that I was complaining anyway. So what good is there in that? But yeah, that's what I do. And this is actually what I would want to do. If I could do this for the rest of my life and just talk to people like yourself. And I talked to somebody asked me one day, what's your show about? I said, anything that I find interesting.
That's great.
Yeah. Which is kind of how your movies are. It's whatever you found interesting in a movie, you made a movie about it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you found a lawyer having sex with a chicken interesting, but we'll go into it.
Yeah, we had to cut it out. That was in My Dinner with Andre. When I worked on My Dinner with Andre, we had that scene, and Louis Malle went a little too far. I had to cut it out.
That's tough.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, that's like, do you know the TV show The Preacher?
I've heard of it. I don't know it. No.
That is a comic book originally done by, not Ellis. God, I can't think of his name right now. he's done a bunch of stuff, but if you ever get a chance to, cause he also wrote, The Boys, the one that's on Amazon, The Boys.
Oh, that, the guy in that movie is in Toxie. Tremblay is his name. Tremblay.
Okay.
Douglas Tremblay. I think Douglas Tremblay. He's 15 years old. A lovely kid. I met him, a lovely, energetic kid. And his father was a big Tremblay fan. So when I was on the set, they were very complimentary. You know.
See, that's...
That family got it rather than, here's this low budget filmmaker. Stay away.
Garth Ennis. Garth Ennis wrote that. You know, have you ever met Garth Ennis or know who Garth is?
So no.
He is like, I would almost tell you in some ways, he's kind of like the comic book version of you a little bit. And I say that in the sense of if it was in his mind, it happened. And you were talking about the whole chicken thing. There's a scene. Yeah. If you read the Preacher book where the guy who runs the meat packing plant turns his whole entire family after they're dead into giant meat people, like ground beef people. And he loves his wife. He really loves his wife. Really loves his wife.
Yeah.
And that, I just leave it at that. Go read it, folks. I'm not going to describe it. You ain't canceling me. Not today, Satan.
Oh, wow. Good.
Yep. Very good. So,
wise words, young man. All right, go on. What were you going to say?
I feel like, you know, after we cut this off, you and I are going to have a couple more beers. We're going to hang out at the bar. you're going to share some of your muscle relaxers. I'll share some of my bourbon.
Sounds good.
We're gonna see where it takes us. We're gonna come up with a couple more movies. Maybe the Bourbon Avenger.
Actually, we have a French wine called Toxic Adventure. The guy named his wine in France after Toxie.
Have you tried the wine? Is it any good?
Anyway, I gotta go. I have to go because my poor wife has. We haven't had dinner yet. And,
yes. So we're gonna put a bow on this real quick. So, any upcoming events people could see you at? I know you were supposed to be at a con this weekend, but you got the back going on.
Well, I'd say watch Troma Now. First of all, you can go to my fan site, LloydKaufman.com.
Okay.
And it's got my schedule there. I am going to. I'm sure in a week or so I'll be able to walk. But right now I'm going to get those shots.
Got the shots coming up. They can check everything out on trauma.com.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watch.trauma.com. They can buy what's left of the merchandise, folks. It's going fast. It's a toxic
but
fire.
Troma thing. Now. I would go to Troma Now, really. It's getting cold. Summer's over. You go there, right?
It's over. Snuggle up next to your best person. And you can find Troma Now on Roku, the App Store, Amazon Fire, Google Play. It's $4.99. You can get all of that you can handle. As always, for us folks, you know that you can find us at our Instagram, Above the Bar Podcast. Our Twitter is at Above the Bar 4. Our email, the Above the Bar Podcast at gmail.com. Whatever and every platform that you are listening to us on today, please take a moment. Give us a 5-star rating, like, share away. As Lloyd said, things are getting tough. He needs the big hit here coming up. He's been making movies for 50 years almost. He needs the one big hit one here. We got to make this happen for him. Got to make it happen.
Just being on your show, Sean Murphy, that's my big hit.
It's the highlight
of his
career.
Hit. It's a big hit that'll be on my obit. I really must go. So
you get the last word there, Lloyd.
Well, I thank you very much. I thank all the Troma fans, especially in Albany, and support Sean Murphy here. And Troma and Toxie are watching. We watch. So, you know, also on Twitter, if you've seen, if you've got Sean Murphy from my Twitter, let me know what you thought, right?
Absolutely. All right, folks.
But don't tell. We don't want to hear the truth. We just want to hear the.
I just want the good shit. Well, you go have your dinner. I'll send you an email there, Lloyd, because I got to get that shirt.
Yes, please.
I'll send you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Get that shirt over to you. All righty, folks. Be sure to push your stool in.
This has been an Earplug Podcast presentation. Found on earplugpodcast.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, and wherever your favorite podcasts are found.